Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for Spence tonight and what he has to say. And I just pray that the words will just flow through him and that just take away all his nerves. Amen.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's really great to be at Surge. another fantastic Christian event with a verb for a name, like ignite or impact or uprise or arrive or subtract or any of those. Surge. Who all was at Autumn Soul? A Christian event without a verb for a name? Okay, quite a few. If you were there, what was the title? Shatter the Illusions, and somebody tell us, somebody shout out loud in a sentence what it was about, what the teaching was on. Quiet bunch, aren't you? Somebody who was at Autumn Soul, shout out in a sentence what the teaching was about. Thank you very much. Anybody want to add to that? Thank you very much. Okay, so at Autumn Soul, we were shattering some illusions, some false beliefs we pick up about ourselves and about God. I'm going to need 2 volunteers, please. Gareth, pick me out 2 volunteers because they're awful shy tonight. Yeah, a guy and a girl's good. Chris. Okay, Chris and Sophie, just over there beneath the hatch. Chris, will you get that board, please? And Sophie, will you pick up the sticks? I learned something really interesting about psychology, about how the human brain works. And I've been thinking about it a lot since Autumn Soul and the idea that we can believe all kinds of false things about ourselves, things that aren't really based in reality. And this psychological theory is all about a table. You've got the table. And legs. And you've got the legs. So apparently all it takes for a false belief to begin is for there to be a leg. So let's say the false belief you might have about yourself is, I'm stupid. Quite a common one. A lot of people have this belief deep down, I'm stupid. So leg number one, maybe someday you do something daft and your mum says to you, it's a throwaway comment, oh, you're daft, you're stupid. And that's one leg down. So you put one leg on the floor and let's see how well the table stands up on one leg. Not at all, okay. But the legs there, can we balance it? A little bit? Oh, so it's a bit there, but the more you think about it, it's a bit wobbly, it's going to fall over. But then, a couple of weeks later, you're doing a little math test in school, and you get the results back, and they're not what you wanted, and you think, oh, I'm stupid. So we've got another leg for our table. And hopefully it'll stand up a little bit better. But still, if we think about it a little bit, it's a bit of a rocky belief. But then, sometime later, something else happens. Maybe someone says, no, I think you're a bit stupid. Or you do something wrong, or you miss an appointment or anything. You think, oh, I'm so stupid. And that's another belief, and that one goes down. Now you've got 3, and the table should stand firm on 3. If we do it correctly, so that's a firm belief. You can stand on that. You can believe that. And then because that table's there, the more things happen, you're now scanning for things. You believe this about yourself. You believe that you're stupid, and so you're scanning for more and more legs to hold this belief up. So do you want to slide that one under there? And I wish I had more, but you get the idea that the more and more little things that happen, you begin to build this belief up. Volunteers, thank you very much. And so all it takes for you to hold a false belief about yourself is three things. The other interesting thing is you can have completely conflicting beliefs. You might also have a belief that you're clever. That might be a true belief or it might be a false belief. And it can equally be based on just three legs, just three things. Good result, a bit of encouragement. And that can hold up a table. So you can have completely conflicting beliefs. So when we were looking at Autumn Soul, shattering the illusions, you can believe wholeheartedly, God loves me. God created me to be perfect and he loves me just the way I am. And I'm a citizen of Christ's kingdom and all that good stuff. You can believe that about yourself. And at the same time, you can still believe, oh, I'm a failure. I'm a letdown. And so at Autumn Soul, and again tonight, we're going to be asking God to take away some of these lies that we believe about ourselves, kick away the legs from under the table. Quite often, if you go to a youth event, whether it's Autumn Soul or Castlewellan or even Surge or something like that, people can come away on a bit of a spiritual high. You can feel, yes, God has really spoken to me. I'm going to go for it now. I'm going to go for it. I'm a real Christian. Mm. And then maybe the next day, maybe the next week, you're not surrounded by all your friends. You're not in the middle of this environment of worship. You're not in connection with God in the same way. And all of a sudden, you slump a little bit. And you get the dip after the high. And so we can go along living our life between event and event, or even Sunday to Sunday, where we're on these spiritual highs, and then in between we're just low. So my question for us tonight is, how do we endure? How do we make sure that our faith doesn't necessarily have to look like this, but actually we can maintain a connection with God, we can maintain true beliefs about ourselves throughout, and we don't have to wait until the next thing. Oh, I can't wait until Autumn Soul. I can't wait until the next surge so I can get back on track with God. I want to say three things. I'll try and say them quickly. Will you look at your watch for me, please, just so I know how long I've been speaking? It might have been 10 minutes already. Flip, I don't know. Three things. One is to be aware of what influences you, where you get these legs from, where you pick them up. Be aware of what influences you. The second thing is going to be to invite or to allow God to influence you. And the third thing is going to be to invite others to influence you. But I want to look at the first thing first. And this is a big one. If you can take something away, this is what I want it to be. Be aware of what influences you. Because if you walk through the world totally unaware of the things that might be affecting you, you can just take them all in. You don't discern, you don't measure, you don't say, oh, is that a good thing to take on board? Is that true about me? Is that a good way to live my life? If you're not aware of the influences that are in your life, you just take them all on board. So in the Bible, there are three main things that influence human beings for negative purposes. And they are the flesh, the world, and the devil. And just go back a slide, please. Back, yeah, that's great. The first one is the devil. And if you read Autumn Soul, we heard a little bit about this. And we know everything we need to know, that there's the enemy of God, the enemy of God's people, who is a liar, who is the accuser of mankind, which is basically a way of saying that anything that feels like accusation, anything that makes you feel the wrong kind of guilt, shame, anything that makes you say, ah, I'm a failure, I'll never be any good, anything you hear that is like that, that is an accusation, does not come from God. Scripture said God is not like that. That is not his character. And so anything that feels like that is from the accuser. The second thing is the flesh. Next slide, please. Which is basically, isn't that amazing? Gooey. Just amazing to think that's inside your head. The flesh is basically good stuff turned bad. Because we're created for good and our brains are programmed for good things. But the flesh means good things turned bad. It means the desires you have and the drives you have that actually lead to destruction. So obviously, for one example, your brain is programmed to eat because we need food to live, and food is enjoyable and it's God's good gift. But if that goes wrong, it becomes a drive that destroys us. We can become greedy, we can consume, and we can get really fat and then die. Our brains are programmed with sexuality. They're programmed for connection, for something which helps us engage with someone else on this most intimate level. But when it goes bad, it becomes lust, it becomes destructive, it becomes something that wrecks relationships. We're programmed to protect our families, to have an authority and a protection over children, brothers, sisters, or whatever. But when that goes wrong, it leads to violence, it leads to war, it leads to division. And the flesh is good stuff gone bad. And then there's the world. The world is everything that you see and take in. The world is other people's points of view, the ways of life of other people, the things that you see and think, oh, I ought to be part of that. I ought to copy that. I ought to do what they're doing, live like they're living, behave like they're behaving. Just go back one. I'll give you the nod, but thank you. Media is a bit of a buzzword. Basically means everything you watch, everything you read, everything you hear. Radio, books, films, etc., etc. Media can have a big influence on us because sometimes we spend more time with people on television than we do with real people. And that can affect us in two ways. So one, next slide, please. If you watch Jeremy Kyle all the time, you might start to think that that's a normal way to live and a normal way to behave. So the media can normalize destructive behavior. Jeremy Kyle's the extreme example, but EastEnders is just as bad, or even something cool like Big Bang Theory. There's stuff in there which is destructive behavior, but if you see enough of it, more than you see real people, you begin to think, well, that's a good way to live. That has influence on you. So maybe next time you have an argument with your parents, you think it's acceptable. You think the right course of action is to shout. Maybe to put on an East End accent. Have you noticed they all have East End accents? What's with that? Or to hold up a hand to the face. Or just to get really aggressive and say mean things. It slips in quietly. If you're not aware of what influences you, this can slip in quietly. So the world can normalize destructive behavior. And the second thing it can do is to set unrealistic expectations. See this guy? Unbelievable. I like that there was a little intake of breath from this table. Don't know what that's about. Talk to them. Guys, there's prayer ministry available afterwards, okay? Hollister is not a clothing brand, it's a lifestyle brand, which means that their job is to make you look at their products and think, yeah, I want to have that. Not because it's a nice product, because I want to be like that. I want to be that cool, which means that whenever you walk into Hollister, there's people speaking to you in American accents, often very poor American accents, because they're actually from East Belfast. It's weird, I don't get it. So it can create a lifestyle, and it's the same, older people, maybe you're not interested in Hollister or whatever it is, but there's things for all of us at all stages of life. So even car adverts, how many car adverts have you seen that actually told you much about the car? There's not a lot, is there? There's always like just very dramatic driving over the cliffs, not over the cliffs, driving around the cliffs. It's beautiful, whoever's driving the car always looks really slick. So it's not saying this is a good car, it's saying this is a good lifestyle, and you can have this lifestyle if you buy this product. To come back to this guy, do you ever wonder why he's naked, if they're trying to sell you clothes. Yeah, conspiracy. It used to just be the girls we worried about, but now it's just as much a case for the guys that there's this whole issue around body image. And actually physically underneath your clothes, once everything's stripped down, you have to look a certain way and be a certain way. This guy has this kind of musculature, and this particular part of his musculature is visible, and apparently that's a good thing, and that makes you a good person. And apparently, very few people can actually look like that. Apparently, if you want to have a six-pack visible, you've got to have less than 10% body fat, which apparently for most people just is not achievable. But for some reason, we're held this image up and told this is what you must look like. Buy our clothes, and you can look like this guy. And we can beat ourselves up for not matching the image. Again, we can have two beliefs side by side. We can believe that's not really normal, and at the same time, we can still believe I ought to be like that. Brace yourselves for a shock. Next slide, please. This was a poster made by a website called Adbusters, based on the Calvin Klein ads. That before the Hollister guy, they were the thing where you used to see lots of muscly men, sometimes without their heads, just their body. Like, what's up with that? And so they made this poster. I'm sorry, guys, but this is what's ahead of you. Sorry. Maybe I should be apologizing to the girls, actually. So we can beat ourselves up for not matching this this image that is held up, which is not real. So be aware that the devil, the flesh, and the world are influencing you. Be aware so that you can say, I'm feeling a little bit like I ought to look like the Hollister guy. I feel a little like I ought to look like the girl on the front of that magazine. And if you're aware that that's an influence, then you can start to question and discern and say, now hang on, where's that belief coming from? Is that from God, or is it from the flesh, or is it from the world, or is it from the devil? And you can start to filter out all the lies that you might take in. Be aware of what influences you. Next slide, please. I want you to imagine I want you to imagine that you've got to copy a picture, but you can't see the picture. Someone else is looking at the picture, and they are describing to you what the picture looks like. And so you follow the instructions, the advice, and you make the picture, okay? Simple enough. But now imagine there's lots of other voices screaming at you at the same time. And it can be very difficult to hear the way things are meant to be. It can be very difficult to hear the truth. And so we need to make space to allow God to influence us. And I'm going to tell you the same three things you've probably always been told. Bible, prayer. Come to the third one in a minute. Next slide, please. See that Bible on your shelf? Do you know what it's for? It's for reading. No, it's not. It's for eating. Take a bite out of it. There was a prophet in the Old Testament who actually got a scroll and ate it. Not like with a knife and fork. He gobbled it up to show people this is how much we should let God's word influence us. It's our food. It's tasty. Because if we're not allowing God to influence us, we've just got all the screaming voices and billboards of the world influencing us. We're not taking time to let God. What's going to happen? Some people find reading difficult. Get an audio Bible. I've got an awesome audio Bible that I stole from the internet. And it's got, don't steal. And it's got, it's read by all these African-American actors. And it's got Samuel L. Jackson as God. And he's like, go forth, and I'm not doing it. But it's awesome. Check it out. Next slide, please. And if you find getting into the Bible difficult, but you love your phone, get your phone out now and log on to either of these websites. Bible SMS will send you an encouraging verse either every week or every day or even every hour if you're really, really keen. And YouVersion.com free Bible apps is all the free Bible apps that you could download for your phone. And so if going to the book, if getting the book out, actually turning the pages and reading is difficult for you, these might help. Next slide. What's up when we think we can do this life and we can live this life without God? What's up? What's going on with us when we think, oh yeah, I can do this Christian life. I can do this different lifestyle. I can go against the grain without plugging into God. Whenever Jesus himself takes time to go off and pray, Jesus, who was God, takes time regularly to go off by himself, be quiet, and pray. And see, when you're praying, don't just talk. Listen. The prophet Elijah went up the mountain to meet with God, and there was a great wind, and it shook the mountain, and there's rocks falling off, and he was getting blown about and everything. But God was not in the wind. There was an earthquake, and the very ground beneath his feet was shaken. More rocks falling off, and God was not in the earthquake. And they went on a little bit more, and there was a great fire, and felt his skin singeing, and you ever burned your hair? It smells. But God was not in the fire. But then he came to rest, and in silence, he heard the voice of God. Someone asked Mother Teresa about her prayer life. The person who asked her wasn't a Christian, it was just a journalist, and said, do you pray, Mother Teresa? And she says, yes, I pray. And she said, what do you say to God? And Mother Teresa said, nothing. I just listen. And the journalist said to Mother Teresa, well, you listen. What does God say? And Mother Teresa said, nothing. He just listens. Make space to connect with God. Allow God to speak truth into your life regularly. Listen. Next, please. Allow God to influence you. Allow God to influence your whole self. When we come to church, whether it's like this or whether it's just a few Christian friends or whether it's Sunday morning, we kind of put a bit of a mask on. Whether we like it or not, we all tend to do that. I've got one on right now. We all dress up a little bit. Sometimes we literally dress up. Sometimes we put on the very coolest outfit that we've got. Or for some people, it's putting on your suit because it makes you look respectable. So whenever we come to church, whenever we come before God, we posh ourselves up a little bit. And all the stuff that goes on deep down, all the stuff that we think is shameful, all the stuff we want to hide, we put a mask over it. If you bring the poshed up self to God, that's all God can work with. And so if you're saying to yourself, well, why hasn't God worked in my life? Why hasn't God changed my life? Maybe there's bits of you that you're covering up. If you bring the poshed up self to God, the poshed up self is all he can work with. But if you bring your whole self before God, then he will work in your whole self. If you bring the mess, if you bring the lies, if you bring the not so nice stuff, God can work with that. Please do that. Please do that, because secret stuff, stuff that we keep secret, can feel massive. It can feel like a huge burden. In fact, precisely because we keep it secret, it can seem like a bigger deal than it actually is. And sometimes we just let that stuff out. We just bring it to God, and God says, okay, let's sort that out. Allow God to influence you through his word, through listening, and by bringing your whole self to him. Last point. Invite others to influence you. This is maybe a bit surprising, since we started off by saying we want to filter out the world's influence on us. I want to filter out the kind of stuff that says, oh, I want to be like them. But actually, it's biblical to invite others to influence us. We're not meant to do this alone. God gives us people around us, friends, with whom there is a different element to the friendship. There's different stuff going on. It's not just hanging out together, shopping together, playing computer games together. It's not just that. There's more to it. There's a spiritual element to our friendship. We can talk about God. We can talk honestly and openly about our lives. Just stick on that. Thank you. So these groups of people in our life can be really important, really influential. We form like a little small group who are tight around us, who we can be honest with, and it allows us to be accountable to each other, and it allows us to do God's work together. So maybe you've got someone in your life, or maybe you don't yet, where you can be really honest. And you can let the secret stuff out. You can let the bad stuff out. You can say, look, I'm finding it really hard not to hate Johnny. Sorry, Johnny. I'm finding it really hard not to hate Johnny. And I just need you to pray for me. And I just need to talk to you every week for a little while about how that's going until God is able to sort that out in me. Or, I just can't stop looking at mucky websites. It just comes on me every now and then, and I just can't stop looking. And I really need you to ask me about that and pray for me and that, just to help me get my life like cleaned out. Or this culture in our school, this bullying that goes on in our school, or this attitude of pride and arrogance in our school, it's unacceptable. God wants to change it. Come on, let's do something about it. Let's do something about it together. If you've not got those people in your life, get them. Choose carefully. You might have a really good friend who's also a Christian, but they are not the right person for you. So pray. Pray into this. Ask God to reveal to you who those people can be who are around you, who will be those people for you, who you can be honest with, who will draw you closer to God. Next slide, please. I'm nearly done. Mentors. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Gandalf, Dumbledore. Older people further along the journey than us, who we can come to and say, listen, I'm going through this time in life and I just wonder what advice you have. It can be really practical stuff like, oh, I'm finished school and I'm really not sure what to do next in my life. Do you have any advice? Or I'm really struggling to pray. And what do you do when you find it hard to pray? And this person who is more mature in the faith can tell you their story, will pray for you, will support you. Get these people in your life. Again, not everyone's the right match, so pray. Choose wisely who you're going to share life with. Finally, worship. Like we were talking about earlier, worship is a way to connect with God and to connect with others. In worship, in coming to a church, you're connecting with God and you're connecting with everyone else. You're being part of a whole community of followers of Jesus who are all struggling, who all have false beliefs and true beliefs, who are all trying to get closer to Jesus. You won't like everybody. So, last slide, please. That's it. If we want to cut out the lies in our life that we believe about ourselves, if we want to not have to ride that wave from event to event, from church meeting to church meeting, in order to survive in the world, in order to be followers of Jesus, this is my advice. Be aware of what influences you. Allow God to influence you. Invite others to influence you. The prayer team are here. I don't know how much you guys, I've never been here before, so I don't know how much you guys make use of the prayer team, but I kind of always say to myself, like, if there's prayer available, I always get it. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I want to have people praying God's blessing on me? It's not freaky. They're just people. So if there's anything that is on your mind, on your heart tonight from what I've said, from what God has been saying into you, or just from your week, please go to them. If you want to pray about influences in your life, if you want to pray that you'll be able to listen better to God, if you want to pray and discern who those people might be who you invite to influence you, then prayer team, I'd love to do that. That's me done. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that you speak so much beautiful truth into our lives. You tell us that we are loved. You tell us that we are your children. You tell us who we are in you. You tell us and invite us to be part of your big story, God, in redeeming the world. You give us a purpose. And you love us. But God, there is also so much crap that just comes in through our ears and our eyes. And God, sometimes their voices seem so much louder than yours. So God, we pray that you will give us the strength. We pray that you will give us the help that we need to filter out all the lies and to listen to you. God, will you help us to build a community around us who can show us you, who can keep us grounded in you, God, and help us brush off all the lies that we take on board. And God, we pray that whatever you've said to us tonight, we'll just take right into our hearts. And that we won't brush it off. But that we will lean on your truth, God. And God, for the rest of tonight, may we come before you as our whole selves and take off the posh self. We ask all this in Jesus' name.